Maybe. There we go. Hello.
Wow.
Just a bit warm there. Okay. So we are finishing our annual reading cycle. And we wrap up with, I see some guilty looks like we didn't get it all done. Yeah, I was one of them.
I was going to say I'm ready to start the next
one. Right. So the only book I didn't get completed was 2 Chronicles. We're about to finish the book of Revelation, though. And as I was contemplating what to speak about, I decided to read basically the last 3 chapters of Revelation, and then I'll tell you why. Chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut it up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had beheaded for their witness to Jesus for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and who had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Messiah, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out and deceive the nations who are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven had and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God wiped away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexual immoral people, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls filled with the 7 last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length, and its great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, its breadth, and its height are equal. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be no means to enter it anything that defiles or causes any abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there, there shall be no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things which I heard and saw. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches, that I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, and if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies of these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Amen. So I felt that I needed to read this because I'm not sure. Well, I'll say it this way. We need to remember what our focus is. So as I was alluding to, what Jeffrey was talking about, there's coming something that we need to be focused on because that's our goal. Not this country, not this building, not now. That doesn't mean that we don't do the things that we're supposed to do now, but we need to be focused on that day. And I know sometimes there was a period of time where that's all the church ever talked about was the I'll fly away and he's coming for his bride. Well, we need to remember that. That is our glorious hope, right? That he is coming. Too many people just say that, you know, the blessed hope is just the rapture. Yes. When is that? Who cares? He's coming. That's all we need to know. And we're going to be living with him for 1,000 years, ruling and reigning. And then after that, we get to go live in that Jerusalem. That's the Jerusalem. That's the temple. That's the thing we should be focused on. Not this life, okay? That's not our focus. This is our focus. This is our ultimate goal. We have to ask ourselves, what is our purpose now and what are we doing to get there? And what are we trying to do to bring as much of that as we can now? Because that's our goal. Too many times, and I'll hit on this in just a minute, we get so focused on just the study of things, or in some places, all they do is get focused on the worship of things, that they don't ever find that right balance. Well, we're trying to bring part of that down now. And that's why I've said over the last few weeks that we're kind of working and trying different things with worship, because our ultimate goal is to bring down the presence of God. It's ultimately to bring Him to where He's at, to where we're at, so we can just have a taste of that now. That's what we're trying to do when we come together. That's the purpose of coming together and to worship one another, is to worship God with one another, not worship one another, but worship God with one another, because we're trying to get everybody encouraged to just get a taste of that now. And so we have two jobs that we're supposed to be doing now. One, telling people how to get there and to be ready for when that comes, and then trying to get them a sense of deliverance and peace and freedom now. Because you can't just say to somebody, hey, one day this is coming. And this, you know, there's a big move out there called cessationism where people don't believe that the things of God and the healings and the power of God are for today. And then you have this other group that's all their focus is. And so we need to find this balance, because what we want to say to those people is look at what Yeshua did when He came. He healed, He set free, He delivered, and He can do that for you now. He can. And so we want to get people a sense where they can experience the part of the kingdom of God now. And I don't understand those who believe in the gifts passing away, because it's almost like He came and He's like, well, hey, I just did to confirm this. So I did good things for these people, but you get to endure with all the pains of life. But we're not going to heal anybody today. That was for them. It doesn't make sense. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to bring those about? Because remember, the people believed at certain points, and then there was other times when Yeshua showed up, and they're like, hey, we tried to get Him to cast us out, but your disciples couldn't. So sometimes we got to ask, what are we doing that may be inhibiting bringing that part now? So twofold, that day's coming, and boy, do we hope soon. But what are we doing now? All right, I want to read a couple things, because as we wrap up this year, I want to make sure, felt like I needed to conclude with that we need to be encouraged, but make sure that we keep the focus going into the new year. And I just want to read a couple verses, and then we're going to shift gears just a minute. So I'll read them. You can turn there if you want. It's 1 Timothy 6, and I'm going to read 20 and 21. I hinted at some of this last week, but just felt like I needed to share it again this week. He says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust and avoid profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge by professing that some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be to you. Amen. And he had to remind Timothy yet again in 2 Timothy in 2, in verse 22. He said, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with all of those who call upon the Lord of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Amen. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God permits, grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. And then he had to remind Titus this as well. In 3 and 8, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned." Now, I think personally that verse 9 here is a prophetic word to the messianic movement. He says, avoid foolish disputes about genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the Torah. Right? It's like he was saying, look, I know what's going to happen. You got people writing books today about what are the 12 tribes and the black Hebrew Israelites and all these other people that want to argue about genealogies and who's the real people of God and then argue about all, okay? So I say all this because that's not our purpose. We balance. That's why we do our study, because we do want to dig into the Word of God, but we also try to make a way for the Spirit of God so we can have both. Because too many times in the charismatic movement, people didn't study and they became stupid. They really did. That's the nicest way you can put it. And then they just got flaky. And then you get people who have no spirit, and all they do is study, but they don't have the discernment that comes with the Spirit of God leading them into all things. And so we try to find and walk that balance, okay? And so I love a good debate, and I would love to have a good discussion about Revelation, what we just read, or anything else you want to talk about in our study. I love it. But we don't divide over these things, all right? That point I will always make, and I don't know how many I've told this story to, because early on when we started the Key Lot, the Sherwood congregation, there were people who came in, they came in fighting. And it seems like that's all they wanted to do was argue, and that all doctrine had to be exactly perfect. This is why this is one of the main reasons why I moved away and said, we have a very simple doctrine here. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeshua is His Son, and He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is divine. He's not just a man. And you must live a moral and ethical life. Everything else is up for debate. Because there were some people go, well, no, if you don't believe the Trinitarian doctrine, you're going to hell. If you don't believe the dualistic doctrine, if you don't believe in the oneness doctrine, if you don't believe in the pre-tribulation doctrine, no. Those are the only three things that I see in the Scriptures. Anything else was, don't do that. Don't fight over that. Don't argue over that. Okay? That's right. He is the only way. But now, you have to ask yourself, why are you here? Not just in this building. Why are you in the body of Messiah? What's your purpose? As we end this year, today, well, the cycles, the reading cycle is what I meant, not the year. That was, 21 days ago-ish. What are you doing? What's your purpose? What's your calling? Why did God make you? And when He made you, as He says of Jeremiah, that I knit you together in your mother's womb, what purpose did He give you? And then that purpose, what is the purpose that you are using wherever God plants you? And if God plants you in this building, then what's the purpose? If God plants you in another congregation, what's your purpose? What's your calling? What are you supposed to be doing? Not one person in all of the history of all of creation was given a job of pew sitter. Not one. Not one. This isn't about you. Too many times churches today have made it about, here's what we can give you. And so what do people do? They go church shop. Well, I don't really like that. That's not enough for me. I think I'll go over here. It's not about you. It's, hey, I love God, and I feel like God's calling me here. How can I help serve? But it doesn't. That's what most of the time we go, well, what can I get out of this? This is not a cruise ship. What I mean by this, I don't mean this building. I mean Christianity is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. We need to remember that we all have a job. What do you bring to the fight? What do you bring to help build the body, encourage the body, strengthen the body, fight with the body? What is that you bring? And if you say, I have nothing to bring, then you need to ask yourself, why are you not training? I promise you God gave you a calling. You need to find out what it is and use it. And go, hey, this is my ability. And you may go, hey, look, I can clean toilets better than anybody on the planet. That is a magnificent job. You can have it. We diminish the little things at times. I promise you that most people, I tell people, when I've had people ask about ministry, and it's like, you got to know you're called. I remember, it's so funny, I remember all of Dr. Mosley's little Mosleyisms. And he said, being in ministry is a turkey shoot, and you're the turkey. It really is. That when you have to know that you're called, because whether people mean to or not, it just can be tough, you know? And so, I actually, in all seriousness, I had to go see a doctor because I was questioning my memory stuff. And he did a little series of tests with me and stuff. And he goes, it's kind of common for where you're at in your age and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, it's actually been quite helpful, because now I'm like, I don't know why I was offended or mad anymore. So I'm kind of good with that. So it's actually quite beneficial, you know, to have that part of life. Because, you know, Gary and I were talking a little bit about the fire last night. We're like, that's kind of good getting mature and getting a little older, because you're like, that really just wasn't worth getting mad about. So you got to know your purpose and your calling and bring it in to this, to the community, okay? Again, wherever that's at. Colossians. And whatever you do, it says, let's see, where's that? He says, I'm going to read it. I don't want to misquote it. And Colossians 3. He said, bondservants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Yeshua. But he who does wrong will be paid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Whatever you do, whatever your calling is, you're doing it unto God. Not into myself, Billy, the elders, Pastor Scott, anybody, wherever you find yourself, you are not serving them, you are serving God. And there should be awareness at times where, you know, the leaders are acknowledging and being thankful and appreciative of the work. But sometimes we're people and we forget. And sometimes we accidentally take for granted. And I remember one of the other things Dr. Mosley said, he goes, nobody ever wakes up one morning deciding that they're to make you mad. You know, I really don't. Well, occasionally. But that's very rare. But nobody in here do I come. Now, there's people that I work with and other people that I wouldn't mind making mad. But most people don't wake up to offend. They don't mean to do that. And so we shouldn't take those things, and we shouldn't read into those things that people are saying. And so whatever you do, do it with all of your heart unto God, as if you were serving God. That's how our focus should be in what we're doing as we get ready to start things over. 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who just beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Everything. You have to give everything you got in service. Whatever your calling, whatever your purpose is, because our goal is that eternal reward. And we got to do it with everything in our response. This is why I say it this way, that you're not doing it unto men. You know, I make the joke, and I'm absolutely 150% serious. We do not believe that where two or three are gathered together, that He is in the midst. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. Because if we would believed it, we would never be late. Never, not one time. If we had a sign and then we put up a big advertisement, Yeshua is preaching at this church, at this Baptist church, this Pentecostal church, this Sunday at noon. You would be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. But because we're like, huh, it's just Steve. It's just Billy. It's just Scott. It's just whoever. We're like, I'll get there when I get there. So you don't believe he's here. Because if we believe that maybe when we go, well, where's the things? Maybe it's because we're like, meh. He's like, I'm not going to show up because you're like, meh. But if we knew for a fact that he was going to be there, we would drag a bloody, stumped foot halfway across town to make sure we got there. And when there was a book that I've been reading by Leonard Ravenhill, it says Why Revival Tarries. He says the reason that we don't have revival, and he died in 94, he says because we've accepted life without it. We don't. Because everything else is more important. We don't do and give everything. We don't. It's a fact. Some of you go, you may. I'm pretty confident I do because she has to tell me, stop it. You need to learn how to rest. I don't like resting. Resting's no fun. If you're not being productive, I don't get it. I really don't. That's just how I'm wired. You know, let me talk about Dr. Brown. And he says, look, you have to do what you're called to do. And not everybody is called to run my race, he said, because it would kill half of you. Because he works 20 hours a day. He very rarely sleeps. But he was gifted that way. Okay, but your gift is not to take naps. Sometimes they're necessary. But you got to give everything that God has called you to do, okay? Life, this life, you ready? I know it's difficult, and I know what we're seeing on the news right now in Israel, and I know the stuff that we're seeing, what's going on in the world. I keep saying this. I'm gonna put this little meme that my girls have sent me when I was talking about all the prophecy stuff, and it's the guy that has all the pictures and the red things, and he's going, right, and he's just kind of making a point. And so when everything is going on, and everybody says something, he's I'm going, do you think I was kidding, right? Do you think I was playing when I said that this country and this world is falling apart? Whether it's the end or not, time will tell. But you can't see everything that's starting to manifest and go, if you're now going, wow, you have not been paying attention. Okay? Now, we've really got to be temperate, right? Because one of the things Yeshua said over and over again, not to be deceived. You know? So everybody was all tripping about October the 4th, right? What was that? We were going to get zapped with 5G. And then also we're all going to turn into zombies. You know Donald Trump did this in 2018, right? See, people forget that because it's not Donald Trump who did it. He sent out a message in 2018. He's actually the one that started this messaging system that they activated on October the 4th. It was just another run of it. It wasn't new. It wasn't a Joe Biden Illuminati thing. It was something that they started. It was kind of funny is we're working on a house. A concrete guy called me. I completely forgot what time it was. That thing went off right in the side of my head when the buzzer went off. I was like, I can't. I said, dude, I got to call you back. And I was like, oh, it's that message thing. I was like, I'm going to die. Yes, I'm mocking. Because we got to use wisdom. The world is in complete chaos, and that is fine. How are you going to respond? This is not exactly a good biblical quote. But Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. It's true. When everything starts falling apart, what are you going to do? Are you giving them everything, and are you running with all that you got? Okay, the life of a believer. We don't preach this today, but it's all throughout the New Testament. We are to rejoice in tribulation and trials. We're afraid of them. We're like, ooh, that's hard. I don't want to do that. No, that you have to push into it. And it's just because of my bold, some might use the word stubborn nature, is I prefer to do things the hard way. Because I learn the greatest lessons in those things. I don't mind doing things that way. You know, the Christian life is a walk in the park, though, right? Jurassic Park, but it's a walk in the park. It's going to be exciting and terrifying and scary and difficult. And it's not a marathon, right? When Paul uses this analogy about running with everything you have, this is not, hey, I'm going to go get my heart rate up for 20 minutes. And this isn't a marathon either. It's an Ironman competition. There's a new thing they've been doing for a few years called a Tough Mudder, where these guys just run through mud and hills and do all kinds of other stuff. That's what this life is meant to be about, is a struggle. We have to wrestle through these things. You're like, where is the word of encouragement here, brother? Not every word is a word of encouragement. No, it is a word of encouragement, because I'm telling us the focus is on what's coming. And to stop being afraid of the difficulties now, because that's why he closed the book out that way. This is going to be crazy, this is going to be chaos, but that day is coming, and that should be our focus. That's what we should be looking forward to. That's why the Lord moved upon Jeffrey to talk about that thing. That's our focus, is his coming for his bride and his people, not now. Whether it's now or whether or not we live to be 80 or 100 or die at 30, it doesn't matter. As long as our focus is then, and that thing, and that what's coming. And we're not to grow weary while doing good. I have to do what Paul said, preach yourself happy. There are times that you're going to be frustrated and disappointed and discouraged, and you just have to go, I'm amazing. I feel great. God loves me. You may not, but I do. You have to. That's not, your mind will take you to places. The enemy and all his little people will start putting things in your mind, and then all of a sudden you'll start thinking that you're not capable, you're not strong enough, you're not fast enough, you cannot do this and you cannot do that. You have to encourage yourself, because you have a battle. This is why we shouldn't be down on one another. That's why the Bible talks about those kind of things. You have enough in your own mind and in the enemy in the spirit realm that's trying to get you to quit. That's ultimately what this message is about. This is what we're building up to, is don't quit. I don't know who it is, and if it was one person or if it's a reminder for everybody, is don't quit. You're going to be discouraged and it's going to be hard and you're going to feel like, I can't do this anymore. This thing is difficult. Yes, it is. Well, that's it? Yep. And you need to put one foot in front of the other, and you just keep going, and you keep praying, and you keep believing whatever it is that you're believing God for. And you keep confessing, but whatever, and it may or may not manifest now, but that day it will manifest. And we don't know why certain things happen and other things don't, but you got to keep pressing. And this whole season is about being the joy of our Lord is our strength. We have to keep our eye on the prize, and the prize is not the Constitution, it's not the American flag, and it surely is not Donald Trump. It's what we just finished reading in the book of Revelation. One day that kingdom will come. Whether we believe in a literal 1,000 years and how we're supposed to live in that, whether it's just for the people that have their head chopped off like Kim believes, then that's fine. It doesn't matter. No, it reads that way, so it's a legitimate discussion. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't mind sleeping for 1,000 years. I'd be cool with that. Right? And then waking up and going, wow, you guys did an amazing job. I get to enjoy the New Jerusalem now. It doesn't matter. That's what our focus should be. And so the reason people are anxious now is because they got their eye off the prize. They got their focus either on themselves, their own abilities, or somebody else who they put up on a pedestal, and they let them down. But when you run into it, you just have to keep going. You know, that's the difference when you talk about people in the military and special ops community. I'm telling you, the people in the special ops community were almost like they were handmade by God, because these guys are wired in such a way that is so unique. But you know what makes them? You know, a lot of those guys aren't much bigger than me. We think they all look like they're 6'5". They're not, because those guys actually don't endure like a guy who's around 5'10 or so. And I remember I went to a meeting and we were doing a conference thing with these Navy SEAL guys, and I walked up to the guy who was doing the conference. I'm looking at him eye to eye, okay? I'm like 5'7", 5'8", on a human day, right? And I'm sitting there looking, I was like, you're not a very big guy, right? But you know why they are? Because they never quit. It doesn't matter how fit you are, you will be put in a situation where they find out whether or not you will give up. And those who say, I will go until my feet are bleeding, until every bone in my body aches, I haven't slept for 72 hours, I will not quit. Those are the guys that succeed. Don't quit. Don't quit. Elijah said, I am all alone. And God said, come on, man. I got 7,000 guys hanging up here in the hill that haven't bowed to Baal. The Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? And if it ain't now, O death, where is your sting? Even if you die, you are victorious. To be absent is to be present. Okay? Please let this be your focus and be your mindset, because as we just read and all throughout the book of Revelation, it says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, the word of their testimony. And, you know, maybe that's something that we need to bring back is going, hey, I was wrestling with this. And part of the reason, I was sharing what happened this past week with Casey, and it's kind of weird because most of the time I'm a pretty even keel guy. I used to not be, like, as far as, I used to have a bad temper. And so it, when I say things about that, it's really a miracle that I go, on a lot of things, because before I'd be Tasmanian devil all over the place and angry for no reason. There really was no reason. But you have to share what God has done. And you know what? It may not be that you raised somebody from the dead, or you were the person that got raised from the dead, or your limb grew out, or some big emotional event. We want to focus on those big things. But you know what? It's the little things that really get people moving. So we need to share our testimony and what God has done. And I'm going to close with this. You're like, what? No, this is it. Okay, yes. So, I put this in my notes now, but I put on there that I was going to say, remember what I said about how I really felt. I was actually waiting for a guy from work to shoot me a text because I shared with him what I said during Rosh Hashanah, how I felt very strongly that something significant is going to happen this year. And I was telling him, Casey and I were talking about it on the way here. And I said, you know, I said, probably only about 25% of that was thus saith the Lord. I said, 75% of that is just kind of looking at what's going on, right? Because everybody in 1938 should have seen that World War II was coming. And if you can't see what's coming, you don't have common sense, and then you're also spiritually dead, right? Because it is so obvious, the chaos in the world. What you're seeing in Israel is just a manifestation of what's been the under rumblings for years. What you're seeing in the political realm, what you saw happen in the House of Representatives, is just the under rumblings of what's going on in this country. So what, everybody, when all this stuff happens, they're all like, what just happened? Okay. So I don't know if what this is going to begin to, but I just felt very strongly that I needed to share, whether it be for one person or for all of us to be reminded, somebody who's going through it now or everything that we're fixing to go through in the new year, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to read this and go, remember that this is our focus. Our focus is on the eternal kingdom, and you may be going through something, we may be going through something, but we will be delivered from it. Amen? All right, second closing. So about, 6 months ago, I was having one of those moments where I was trying to preach myself happy, and I was talking with Casey, and I just said, you know, I just like to know that we're doing the right thing here. You know, there's been a couple times, and I'll give you a short story before I get into the third closing. Is when I first felt called. I didn't even tell Casey for about 3 years that I felt called into ministry. Because most everybody who comes out of a radical environment and radically saved, they automatically feel a calling. And so I sat on it, and I sat on it, and I sat on it. And I was just going to wait until somebody came up and said something to me. Now, the guy who led me to the Lord, every time he saw me, he kept saying, you got a calling, you got a calling, you got a calling. And I was like, that's not good enough. And I'd been sitting on it for about 5 years. And I felt very specifically my calling was to Dr. Mosley, Sherwood Bible Church, the American Institute, the college, and all of that. Because my argument with God was, I don't like speaking publicly. It was a terrible student. You got the wrong guy. And so when I finally confessed to the guy who led me to the Lord, what I felt God called me to do, he says, you feel that God's called you to be Ron's armor bearer. And I was like, yeah. I said, that's the word, yeah. And so he gave me these two books to read. And then so when I finally go in to tell Dr. Mosley, I was like, look, I got to either move on with my military career or move on with this preaching thing. I need to know which. Because that's also very difficult for me to do because I'm used to making decisions or being told by decisions. So it's like, so I go in and I say to him, I was like, hey, I feel like God's called me to be your armor bearer. And he laid his head on the desk and he goes, oh, thank God. He goes, I've been praying specifically for an armor bearer. And I didn't know the words because I had forgotten the story about Jonathan and David. And so my friend reminded me of it. And so Ron had been praying that specifically. And I was just like, oh, praise God, right? And then he and Ron and I talked for a little bit. And he goes, but you're not the first person to come in and tell me you were called to be my assistant pastor. He goes, and if you're here when this is all over, you can have it. And I went from, well, praise God, to, pfft. I was like, that wasn't a very good word, right? It was like, it was half a word, and then you shot the other word, right? It was a word, but it wasn't a good word. And so I told the story about when I was up in New Jersey, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be doing. And so my fleece was, I'm putting in an assignment for Germany and one to Little Rock. If I get the assignment to Germany, I'm moving on with my military career. I misheard God and I'm not supposed to be doing this this ministry thing. And then obviously we're here. And so, you know, went through the thing and then we started Key Lot. And there was a lot of difficulties with that, not specifically with people at Key Lot, just in general. And there was a couple times somebody called me, two different people, each one once, and I was just like, this is hard, right? And then all of a sudden I get this call because what we were doing, nobody else was doing. And I mean, just because I was crazy enough to do it didn't mean I knew how to do it. And then so about 2 years into it, I get a call. It was actually from Randy Fields, and he said, hey, brother, he wasn't attending there at the time, and he said, I just want to encourage you with what you're doing. He goes, that takes a lot of nerve to just start something that you have nothing to build off of, nobody to help you out with, and you just took it on your own and just said, we're going to do this in Central Arkansas. And he goes, I just want to encourage you and let you know you're kind of doing the right thing. And I was like, man, I appreciate that. And so I was like, that was good for a while. And then a couple years later, you're like, all right. We're going to make it through this, right? And then we come out here and we're doing all of this and it led to some difficult situations. And I just kept going. I really felt like when we came out here that God said he was going to build this place up and it was going to be a hub in Central Arkansas for Messianic people. And so when I tried to gather and rally all of the different Messianic communities, I'm like, right? They're all like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, we've already figured it out. Rabbi Google taught us how to do everything, so we don't need to fellowship because we've decided to create second Messianic and then third Messianic and fourth Messianic, and so we're not going to join. Even when you guys do monthly or quarterly events, we're not interested. Thank you. I'm like, well, it's not much of a hub. And so I've had this conversation with a few people. Matt and I specifically have it a lot. I have zero interest in my own things. You know what I mean? I do what I feel like I need to do because it's what God wants me to do. I don't want a name. I don't want a platform. I don't need to do this to feel edified or encouraged, you know. And I really don't even need people to go, hey, man, you're amazing. You're doing great. I'm self-driven. Because I'm not wired that way. But occasionally, it's nice. But whether I get it or not, I'll keep putting one foot in front of the other. I will never quit. And so what happened last week, and it's kind of funny because I was helping Matt do some stuff on the property yesterday to get ready for the little fire. And he asked if anything encouraging happened this past week, which is not a normal question. He doesn't always ask that question when we get together and talk about things. And I said, well, it's kind of funny you asked that. I said, because what happened last weekend is we had this woman come and visit us. And and she wasn't aware of the Sukkot stuff, but she knew about us online. And she was moving back here, I think, from Nebraska or something like that. And she was originally from Fordyce. And she just come up and started talking, and I think it was Tony. When I was walking in the building, he was like, hey, you need to meet, I forgot her name, like, because I think that's Billy. And so she starts saying that that she's been in the Messianic community for like 20 years. She's lived in New York. She lived in Nebraska and all this other kind of stuff. And she's originally from Fordyce. And she goes, this place is an answer to prayer. She goes, I've been praying for 17 years that the Messianic movement would come to Central Arkansas. And then she goes, and she was just talking. She was one of those people that just, you know, verbalizing ADD, right? She's all over the place. And then I'm halfway going, I came here to get something out of here and go back up there. So I was like, hey, that's great. And all of a sudden she goes, the Lord just showed me. This is cool. And I was like, she goes, this is like an old-timey watch. Now, this is funny when she said an old-timey watch. Because I was like, she's like, you know, one of them ones that have hands. I was like that one? I didn't have it on. But I prefer a watch with hands. I don't like the numbers. I like hands. And she goes, the Lord showed me that this place is like those old watches with the hands. And she goes, and that pin in the center is the thing in which everything rotates around. And she goes, this place is that pin. And she goes, this place is supposed to be a hub for the people of Central Arkansas. The fact that she used those words, I was just like, okay, I'll take that. And then I got a text the next night from a guy who said, hey, I just want you to know that you are doing exactly what God called you to do and exactly the time you're supposed to be doing it. And now, this is me. Now, I was very thankful because I was like, it took you 6 months, but I'll take it. I'm teasing. I didn't say that. But when I was sharing all of it with Casey, I said, you know, I'm concerned because I don't get round up anymore. Those were two very powerfully strong things for me this past week, to know that I'm on the right path. Because I said I'll never quit. It doesn't mean you won't be discouraged, but I said I'll never quit. And whatever happens here, because I think I shared with you, God didn't tell me to do this. I asked God to do it. God told me to do Keilat. He told me to stick with Ron. But this was something I asked to do because I thought the ministry was going to be about the college. And I'm looking to build a place for the presence of the Lord. And that's what is so different about things that we are trying to pursue and work out, that's different than every intermessing congregation you're going to run into. Because it's all about how do we get the presence of the Lord to manifest. And so those things were things that hopefully it'll keep me going for another 6 months. Just kidding. 6 years. Because sometimes those moments will take a while. And maybe today's message was for you today. Maybe it was for you going, I don't know about all of this, whether it be this congregation, things in your own life, Christianity as a whole, whatever it is. That at the right time, and this is why, this is different for me, because there isn't a right time for me. Because I'll never quit. I just won't. It's just not in my nature to quit. But it was very nice that the Spirit of God confirmed just this past week, because to be honest, the fact that that happened on the last weekend, because we've been running through a series where people have treated this like whatever, and the amount of effort and work that it goes to put in together the things for the weekend, and the amount of work that that many of us do to put together, and people are like, that can be discouraging. But you have to say, it doesn't matter if it's me, myself, and I. I'm doing this to worship God. And if people are indifferent to it, then that's where I've kind of moved to that place where it used to bother me, but now it's just one of those things that I kind of go, all right, we're good, right? Or I used to be mad about it for days. But it was good, and I was just very thankful, and I wanted to share that because that was a moment personally in my life where God just gave me a nice little moment and a word of encouragement about not only the personal ministry, but what it is that we're doing here. And I don't know what that looks like, and it doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to bring in 10,000. It's not what it's about. Because we're going to do something here in a minute with the leaders, and we're going to do a little Salt Covenant thing. And I will take 10 people who are faithful and undoubting versus 10,000 that I've got to wipe their rear ends and their noses about. That's one of the things I'm not very patient about. I really am not. I try. I just don't. It's I just don't do well with whining and crying. God's never delivered me of that, so I'm not sure that I'm supposed to be delivered of it. And I don't mean people who are saying these things are difficult and I'm dealing with strugglings and I'm dealing with wrestlings. I'm talking about people who are going, well, we're not coming to service because you don't say the right prayers. Or you lit candles on Saturday evening before the sun went down, so we're not gonna hang around you anymore. Or you don't serve the right food. That's the kind of stuff that I get. I didn't say it. See, I used to say, there's the door. I stopped saying that. See, I had to stop myself. Almost. Normally I would say it without any reservation or anything. Anyway, sorry, sidebar. That whatever it is that God's going to do in the midst of all of this, and whatever He's going to do with this body, and whatever He's going to do, if it's going to be some sort of hub, I shared with you a while ago that I'm done talking to the people in the known Messianic community now. Done with them. Because they have expressed zero interest in fellowshipping with one another. I went out of my way to reach out to all of them, and none of them want a fellowship, and that's fine. But there's going to come a move when all of this stuff starts happening that they're going to be hungry. And there's going to come droves of people at a traditional church that not only are looking for the presence of the Lord, they want to go, there's something about these Hebrew things. There's something about His Sabbath. There's something about His feast. There's something about that we've missed. And it's those people that where my heart and my draw is for that. So whatever those words meant from that woman that God brought past, whether she comes back or not, I don't know. But it was a word of encouragement, and you need to be encouraged. Whatever's happening in your own life, whatever you see going on, God will see you through it. And our focus needs to be on that kingdom when it comes, not any kingdom that we thought that we've built up now. Amen? Okay, so if I could have Billy.